If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. Answer one important question. How did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
On this episode of Newt's World, my daughter Jackie is a huge fan of our guest today, John Ondrasik of Five for Fighting. Been together with John before. He was the first professional musician I had on Newt's World. He joined me last October when he released his song and video entitled Blood on My Hands about the tragic U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan and the terrible human consequences of the way that was done. And he's joining me again today to talk about his new single and video, and I urge everybody to watch this and share it with your friends. It is an amazingly impressive achievement. It's entitled Can One Man Save the World? The song is inspired by the courage of President Zelensky and the people of Ukraine and ask the country and the world to stand up for the core values of freedom and justice. And I just have to say, the video is amazing. We're going to talk with him about it. Filmed on location on a Ukrainian battlefield and with the backup of the Ukrainian orchestra. John was aided by the nonprofit Save Our Allies. So I'm really pleased to welcome my guests, Grammy-nominated singer-songwriter John Ondrasik of Five for Fighting and Sarah Verardo, one of the founders of Save Our Allies.
Who is this comedian? His audience more mice than men. This Superman Ukrainian, I don't know.
John, once again, you cut right to the heart of the moment. What led you to writing Can One Man Save the World?
Well, I think so many of us were inspired by President Zelensky when he turned down our plane ticket and said, send me some stingers. I don't think we'd seen that kind of spine and fortitude in Western leaders in a generation. And it wasn't just his life he was risking. It was his wife and his children. You probably remember, Mr. Speaker, most governments, our National Security Council, basically gave Ukraine 3 or 4 days in this war. But as we saw with Winston Churchill, one person's will can pull the rest to the right side of history. So watching him do that certainly was easy to be inspired to write this song. Of course, it's called Can One Man Save the World? Not One Man Can. So the question is for the rest of us. Are we going to stand with Ukraine or are we going to slowly watch Putin devour their country?
It's doubly interesting because, of course, he was a professional comedian.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have picked this moment the way it's evolved.
No, look, Reagan was an actor, right? Maybe there's something about these people that, you know, they're not career politicians. So every calculation is not political. Maybe there is a certain moral spine that just transcends the typical political attitude of how does this affect my long-term career? Of course, his country's being invaded by a tyrant. But I did find it very interesting that, yes, you have an artist who is leading a country, kind of like Reagan did. Of course, you would pick up on that, sir. You get those things.
It was doubly interesting because I was in Ukraine before this election, and Zelensky was a real reformer, and the country was sick of the corruption, sick of the politicians who are the traditional political class. And so he had actually done a series about a comedian who gets elected as president. Reagan never actually did a movie about being president. He just became president. But there was a certain pattern here. And you're exactly right. I thought one of the more following on the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan, which you responded to so powerfully with blood on my hands, somehow typical of the current Sikh system, that they would say to him, you know, we'll be glad to get you out of there. And he had to say to them, I'm not leaving. Why don't you send me the weapons to win with? Which I'm sure was an enormous shock to the American State Department and the American Defense Department. And frankly, the same woke Defense Department that was so wrong in Afghanistan, General Milley, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, said, oh, the Russians will be in Kiev in 3 days. Well, I mean, nobody has yet gotten up to say, if these guys are that incompetent and that out of touch with the real world, why are they still working in the Pentagon? And what does that tell you about Taiwan and about other kind of problems? So let me go to the basics. You're a very passionate, very moral person. Your songs have a cultural meaning that's very deep. What did you hope to accomplish by doing this particular song, Can One Man Save the World?
You know, it really was just a burst of emotion, kind of like blood on my hands. You never really know what songs are going to do. I was hoping that 1,000 songwriters would write songs about Zelensky, you know, standing for freedom and the Ukrainian people. Certainly, music has a way of putting the spotlight back where it belongs. You know, we saw with Afghanistan, our attention start to drift. The song brought it back a little bit. Ukraine, similarly, you know, our attention spans drifting. But I certainly had no idea that 2 months later, I would be standing in a battlefield in Ukraine recording this song with the orchestra. But it was the same intent. It was to keep the focus on Ukraine and the consequences if we allow Ukraine to be taken by Putin. You mentioned Taiwan. We talked in October about Ukraine being the next domino after Afghanistan. And I think Taiwan's likely the next domino after Ukraine if we allow Putin to achieve his ambitions. So it's great to raise money for Save Our Allies, these incredible people that made this video happen. But also it's important for the Russian people to see that Americans are collaborating artistically with Ukrainians. Music can permeate borders in ways other mediums can't. We need to get to the Russian people and let them know that they have a choice. They can topple their tyrant and rejoin the free world, or they can go down the dark side of history. So music has a unique way. We saw it with Live Aid. We saw it with Sun City. We saw it with the Concert for New York. So hopefully this video leads to bigger things. And Sarah and I and others are calling for a concert for Ukraine, a global concert, which I think, again, there needs to be a culture front on this war. We have a political front and economic front. Neither of them worked very well so far. So we're really trying to build this into a culture front on this war. And hopefully this song and this video is the first step.
So did you first write the song and then decide to do the video, or did you always know it was going to be turned into a video?
Oh, no idea. And this is where Sarah and Save Our Allies come in. I'd written the song and I was going on tour with my string quartet. And of course, I wanted to play Can One Man Save the World on tour. So I arranged some string parts. And in doing so, in the back of the van, I had a thought of, why don't I go to Poland and play the song with a Polish orchestra? Because Poland, as you know, has been so incredible in this war, taking 4 million refugees, literally the first president to go stand with Zelensky in Kyiv. So I asked one of Sarah's colleagues at Save Our Allies who had relationships in Poland, why don't you reach out to them and see if we can do this? And she said, let me call you back. And 3 or 4 days later, she called me back and said, how would you like to do this with Ukrainian orchestra? And I didn't know what to say. I thought she was kidding. I didn't know, did they exist? But only Save Our Allies and their relationships with Zelensky and the Ukrainian military could make this happen. And a month later, I found myself in Kyiv, you know, preparing to film this video in front of the Maria, the destroyed Maria, the symbol of Ukrainian independence. It was surreal. It was humbling. To this day, I still can't believe it happened.
You're in a war zone.
Yeah.
You're not on a TV set with a green screen behind you looking like a war zone. You're in the war zone. What was it like to be in Kyiv and to be in Ukraine in the middle of this war?
Look, we didn't sleep very much. Certainly, we were not near the front. The fighting in Kyiv had abated. When we first crossed the border and went to Lviv, you wouldn't really get a sense of war was going on. People were out kind of shopping. The kids were playing. But when you got to Kyiv, you certainly felt the weight. A lot of the stores were closed. There was a tension in the air. There were air raids, and we slept maybe 2 hours a night. But it was anxiety-ridden, but we weren't dreading every moment. We were focused. We were busy. The Save Our Allies folks, they're all former special forces, Green Berets. So we had an entourage of Rambos and superheroes. But yeah, does that stop a missile? No. So yeah, we were concerned, but we thought it was worth the risk. And I had a long talk with my wife before we went. And I'm very grateful to her that she let me go, because understandably, you're walking to a war zone. And we see that there's no discretion with Putin in civilian and military targets. There's no difference. He's happy to bomb a mall as much as he is to bomb an airport. When we got back to Poland, I did take a deep breath. I'll tell you that much.
Because the Russians have been engaged in random missile firings, you really are at risk virtually anywhere in Ukraine. It may not be a giant risk, but there is some statistical possibility of danger everywhere you went.
Well, that's true. As we've seen, we see every day civilians, children being killed by this tyrant, this monster in my mind. And you recognize it. And when we were filming at this airport, we were literally in the rubble. And I was surrounded by destroyed Russian tanks. My piano was in jet fuel. The hangar had these big pieces of metal that were swaying in the wind. I actually had a spotter who was watching and said, all right, if the roof starts to collapse, duck under your piano. I'll give you a heads up. It was surreal. You could not have gotten a permit for this in California, let me tell you that much.
But you had an American production crew there filming this, right?
We brought an amazing American production crew led by Hollywood Heard, Nick Palmisciano. They were brave. They were professional. They were invested emotionally like we were. Mr. Speaker, there were still human remains on site. We were literally in a war zone that weeks before had seen combat in front of the Maria that had been destroyed by Putin. It was hallowed ground and still is hallowed ground to Ukrainians. And I think filming the video there was important because it's not about me. It's not even about my song. It's about them and the Ukrainian orchestra, these human beings. When you watch the video, you see their fortitude. You see why they are standing up to this Goliath. And to watch them perform was moving. There was a moment when the general came by who permitted us to film there, and he wanted to thank me, and we spoke through a translator. He said, President Zelensky has approved this. And then he said, let me hear the song. And you could see the orchestra stiffen and their spines harden, and they started to play with vigor and passion, and they took flight. And halfway through, the general took out his phone and started playing. There were tears. There was silence. There was a 40-person entourage. And when we finished, you understood what was happening, where we were, that these people are fighting for their survival, that virtually every person in that orchestra has a loved one who's either been killed or missing or on the front. So it really kind of hit home with us Americans. And we felt pride that we were there supporting these people like America should. We stand up for freedom. We stand up for people fighting for freedom. And hopefully this video is first of many for many artistic expressions. But I have to give thanks to Save Our Allies, Sarah Verado, Seaspray, Tim Kennedy. It does not happen without them. They're doing heroic work. They saved Benjamin Hall's life. Seaspray just saved another American reporter. I could talk hours about their organization. So any good we're doing with this video starts with them. And I met them in Afghanistan. And if it wasn't for Afghanistan doing that whole thing, we wouldn't be here. So all kudos to Sarah and her team. They're amazing people and should make every American proud.
Let me ask Sarah two things. One, why did Save Our Allies work with John and going to Ukraine to film the music video? What was the impact you were hoping for?
The thing that I just hope others, Americans, can learn about someone like John is he has used his celebrity and his platform for so much good. I mean, we see so many people that talk about it, but when Afghanistan collapsed and there was this urgent cry from the veteran community that 20 years of sacrifice, it felt like it went up in flames. It was the most devastating thing we could imagine. John did more than just make a social media video or say how horrific it was while staring at his television. He jumped in to the Afghan evacuation space and he walked with us through horror and pain. And he read the messages and he got the phone calls and he heard that firsthand devastation. And we knew John's heart. We knew he is someone who walks the walk. It's so rare. And when Ukraine kicked off, Save Our Allies, we were on the ground in Ukraine starting on February 10th. It did not surprise any of us that John, yet again, was at the forefront of doing right by the military and veteran community, the backbone of America. And when his song came out, which was so powerful, we could not move quickly enough to make sure it had the platform, the audience, and the environment to help inspire Americans and others to do the right thing and to tell Ukraine that we stand with them. I mean, what an honor for our team to be able to work with John.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. to answer one important question: how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Was Save Our Allies founded over the Afghanistan disaster?
Yes, sir, it was. We watched the devastation, and my husband is one of the country's most severely injured warriors, and he's, of course, had the honor of meeting you to survive his injuries from Afghanistan. 120 surgeries later, 30% of his body is burned, his arm and leg blown off, and his medical declines are so significant. And we have three young daughters. Unfortunately, my husband now requires full-time care from a grown-up to get through his day. When Afghanistan collapsed, I can't begin to tell you, I felt sick. I felt absolutely sick. And I had to tell my husband, because he doesn't understand things the way an adult would of his age. And I had to tell him, and as he sleeps in a hospital bed in our home, and as I walked away after, I heard him wailing. And I thought, we have to do something. And we put this team together. It was me and Chad Robichaud, and we put it, called it Save Our Allies. And we asked our friends, Nick Palmisano and Tim Kennedy, to go be part of this ragtag team of people with experience that wanted to do the right thing. And we had 10 days to do the right thing. We, of course, thought we had more time. And this administration, it was a stain. It was a stain on our nation, the message they sent to our allies, to our own citizens. And so we did the work the government couldn't. We did have really good partners in the government, but our team did the work. So over a 10-day period, there were 12 men in the Middle East, and then I ran the operations center here in the U.S. and cleared everything through state and DOD. We evacuated 12,000 people, and we met people like John who were willing to jump in and be part of it with us.
And then you made the decision to help him go to Ukraine as part of this. What do you really want to see happen coming out of his video?
We are so hopeful that others will follow John's example and that we can do a Live Aid type concert for Ukraine. We believe as Americans, we have such an obligation. If you can help someone, you help someone, and we should all use whatever powers we have for good. And so we want to see that come together. We want to show the Ukrainian people. And frankly, for people that say that what's happening in Ukraine doesn't matter and doesn't affect us, we are knocking at the door of World War III. And every single American, if they don't care, they're not paying attention. And what John has led by example here is something that we are just prayerful that others will understand the urgent need to stand and support those that are fighting for themselves.
John, I was impressed when I watched the video. The Antonov was the largest cargo plane in the world, bigger than anything the U.S. ever produced. And I think it was deliberately hit by the Russians because they knew that it was a source of real pride to Ukraine. You're standing there next to the ruins of this gigantic aircraft. What was that like?
It was surreal. We couldn't believe it was even an option when we got there and they mentioned we might be able to film on this hollow ground. And we actually sat outside the guard gate for 2 hours to get permission. We never thought we got in. And when we came around one of the big hangars and saw for the first time the blown up hangar and the Mirio at the Antonov airport there, you get hit by two competing emotions. One is just awe of this plane, this site in the war zone, and also just terrible sadness that this is happening. You're right. Putin basically destroyed this symbol of independence as trying to gut the Ukrainian will, and just shows how cynical he is. And you realize that people had just died there fighting for freedom. I remember when I went down to Cuba to Guantanamo and played there, and you look across the fence and you see the guard post with Cuban soldiers with their AKs, and you're like, okay, on that side of the fence, there's no freedom. And I felt similar in Ukraine, but exponentially. It's like here, a couple weeks ago, men and women were dying for freedom that we take for granted. So it was a lot of competing emotions, very emotional, we also realize this is the perfect place to symbolize the fortitude of the Ukrainian people. And putting that orchestra in front of that plane, I think, says in one shot what we've seen for 3 months. But it also shows that this war is not over. And Russia is slowly devouring Ukraine. They now have gotten 20% of Ukraine. And it seems like we're playing for a tie or for a loss. And so every moment matters. And the sense of urgency, I think, we don't feel in this country. So hopefully this video can spur a little action, because it seems to be just dragging and dragging. And with every day that goes by, I think that's to Putin's advantage, especially with winter coming. So the time is now. We can't wait. And if we wait, then it's going to be our soldiers fighting in Eastern Europe, as Sarah said, in an actual World War III. And that's why I think all of us are so passionate about moving now and supporting these people and trying to end this war.
I have to confess, in addition to the fact that as somebody who does a lot of TV with a green screen, I'm watching you do a video where you really are in the airport next to this gigantic airplane that's been wrecked. But the other thing that's equally amazing is you have the Ukrainian orchestra. How were you able to find them in the middle of a war?
Great question. We were trying to get a hold of them. First, we had to record the song. So I was literally flying from Amsterdam to Krakow. We had a 6-hour window to gather the orchestra. They came from all around Ukraine. Of course, there's no concerts, there's no shows. So they filtered in from around the surrounding 100 miles. They got to the studio. I was on Zoom on a call heading to the border trying to record them. They did an amazing job. And then to get them on a bus to the Antonov Airport, of course, Mr. Speaker, it was pouring rain and they're not going to play in the rain. So we had to deal with orchestra members.
I was going to say, you can't do that with strings, can you? It just doesn't work.
Even for the war, they're not going to do that. And thank God the sun came out. They were so, I think, just grateful to play, to express themselves. You know, they're not soldiers, but they are equally passionate, and to express themselves musically for their country was, I think, very powerful for them. So it was a series of minor miracles to make this happen. And when I look at it, I can't believe we did it. But as you'll see, the star of the video is the Ukrainian orchestra, because they represent the Ukrainian people. And that's what this is all about.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who is this comedian, this steel that is Ukrainian? We die but maybe live again. Can one man save the world?
Sarah, because you have so many connections and so many contacts, what's the situation in Afghanistan now?
Oh, sir, Mr. Speaker, the situation is dire. Our friends are dying. And that is the plainest way that I can put that. Our friends are being slaughtered and they are being hunted. And their crime is that they supported American troops. It is sinful what has happened, the people left behind, the urgent cries we're getting. Girls have not been in school for about 314 days now. Tens of thousands of people are just waiting for the U.S. to fulfill their promise that upon good and faithful service to America, we would bring them here. And not only, sir, does that impact, of course, morale around the world and that Americans will keep their promise, it actually really compromises our own national security. Because when we have a future conflict, and we will, I wish we wouldn't, but God knows we will, who will want to be our allies when we abandon them and we just do not keep our moral obligation and our promise? So the situation there is dire. It is Taliban-controlled Afghanistan. That being said, our group has moved 5,000 people, bringing our total to more than 17,000 rescued since the incidents at Achkaya. And it is very slow because no country, particularly the U.S. government, wants to take our Afghan allies. And it's very disappointing. I know this administration would love to pretend it never happened. So they are doubling down that everything has gone to a complete halt of trying to get our allies out.
Let me make this clear, sir. So if you are an illegal immigrant coming from almost anywhere in the world, you can walk across the Rio Grande. But if you are an Afghan ally of the United States, you have a State Department that is simply not helping.
Not only are they not helping, sir, they are hindering. And I say that because we have the airplanes. We have the ground team. Right now, we have 200 people in Pakistan, people who served, bled, fought, slept beside American troops. And our government is just slow rolling them in a haze of red tape. And they are being killed every single day for this crime of supporting America.
If Congress just adopt a law that says you have to be as welcoming to Afghans who are our allies as you are to strangers we've never met, you could automatically improve things overnight.
I have a friend and he has several planes that he's given for this effort. And he said, Sarah, why can't we just fly them to Mexico and they can just walk across? I mean, really, at this point, I don't know.
No, it's that bad. I hate to say it, but in fact, that might be the most practical solution.
Right.
If you can't get Joe Biden to fit into your world, maybe there's a way to have 17,000 Afghans fit into his world. They'll suddenly be welcomed with open arms. It's just truly, truly bizarre. Let me go on here for a second because I'm not quite sure what our next John Androsek podcast will be, but I'm confident it will be highly interesting. So, John, what's next for you? What are your plans?
Well, I'm on tour talking to you from the back of the tour bus here. I'm touring the next few weeks out playing with the rock band and playing the song every night with audio from the orchestra. It's very moving. And Sarah and I are really focused on this concert for Ukraine. I think it needs to happen. We're starting to see it go global. Richard Branson just tweeted out our video today. So we're seeing it start moving around the world. And we need the big guns. So we're working in Ukraine. We spoke to some folks today in the ministry. We're working in Poland. And our big goal is to have this concert in October and let the Russian people see it for themselves. I think the greatest thing about this video is that it will get into Russia. And the people of Russia will see this orchestra in front of the Maria that Putin destroyed with an American singer-songwriter. And I think that speaks to the fact that we are not going to let Ukraine go down as much as our government seems to want to slow play it. And music, we've seen, can have a big effect on world events. So we may be dreaming, we may be naive, but that's how we've gotten here so far. And we lead with our hearts. And thanks to Sarah and C. Spray and Tim and Nick, I've been inspired to be a better version of myself. So whatever we do, I give a lot of credit to them. And in my mind, we're just starting and the video is just the first step.
Sarah, why don't you just want to tell us what's next for Save Our Allies?
Well, sir, thanks for having us and for helping us spread the word. We are now a global rescue organization. And so we have this view that wherever Americans and our allies, and those include our journalists and our wartime allies, and really whoever needs help in that time of need, if they are in contested areas, we are going to get them to safety. And we are looking, quite frankly, at probably Taiwan as the next theater that we may be forced to operate in. Because as an American, I would not feel safe being in another country that the U.S. government is going to help me. And that's why groups like Save Our Allies exist now, to really help and go that last mile.
As a fellow citizen, I feel that we owe both of you a real debt of gratitude and a very strong thank you. And we're going to link to both Save Our Allies and to the new single and video, Can One Man Save the World? And I am confident, it's a sad comment on the way the world is currently decaying, but I am confident that we'll have an excuse, John, and sometime in the next 6 or 8 months to once again be together. And I'm confident that it will be remarkably creative on your part. Now that we have Sarah as a great ally of yours, I really hope people will be aware that working with Save Our Allies is really important. And it's tragic that we can't expect the most powerful government in the world, the most powerful military in the world, to do its job. And therefore, we have to rely on individual citizens, on artists, and on charitable organizations. But that's where we are. And the two of you, I think, are an inspiration to me, and I hope an inspiration to most Americans, that the American spirit is still alive and well. So thank you for a remarkable conversation.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, yes. You've been such an advocate. You wrote an article after the 2017 VA accountability. You met my husband there, and you're just amazing to kind of profile what his journey has been like. He was in much better health, and he was more verbal when you met him. But we're so grateful you've been a champion for families like ours for so many years.
Thank you to my guests, John Androsik and Sarah Verardo. You can get a link to the new video, Can One Man Save the World?, on our show page at newsworld.com, and you can get a link to Sarah Verardo's organization, which is so important to all of us. Newt's World is produced by Gingrich 360 and iHeartMedia. Our executive producer is Garnsey Sloan. Our producer is Rebecca Howell, and our researcher is Rachel Peterson. The artwork for the show was created by Steve Penley. Special thanks to the team at Gingrich 360. If you've been enjoying Newt's World, I hope you'll go to Apple Podcasts and both rate us with 5 stars and give us a review so others can learn what it's all about. Right now, listeners of Newt's World can sign up for my 3 free weekly columns at gingrich360.com/newsletter. I'm Newt Gingrich, and this is Newt's World.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.